Well, hi, and good morning, everyone. Here from Finland, and I'm in the Temple of Silence. I won't be very silent, but some of you have been here, and I'm doing a fair number of these webinars from this venue. Now, I'd like to inform you that I have been working now on the compilation for the second initiation. And, well, maybe not every reference in the books is there, but quite a few, and it will go on. You know, maybe we'll have 6, 7, 8, 9 programs, whatever. We'll see how it goes on the second initiation. And then I will go to the first initiation, which is the second and first are germane for so many of the people that study the Tibetans' books. And then on to the compilation on the fourth and fifth, which we can perhaps idealize and look forward to. Also, it's our intention here. Well, here's the thinking that that I have at the moment. We have 7 years before the Tibetan, according to his own words, begins to offer what is called the third installment of his teaching. He said after 2025. And that will be material, perhaps some of the beginning material will be a further extension of esoteric astrology. But we have no idea how long it will last. I think it will go on a long time. But he told us that what he can offer depends very much on what we can absorb. So I don't know if you're like me, but let's put it like this. I've been reading these books for almost 50 years in an intensive manner. And before that, the secret doctrine and theosophy and all that kind of thing. Well, I feel like I've just scratched the surface, and maybe you feel that way too. So we have to assimilate greatly during the next 7 years, and our intention here, Tuya and I, is to begin to offer read-throughs of the books and discussion in webinars. Now, some of these I'll just offer as a sort of a solo kind of thing, and others will be read-throughs of the books with discussion. Before long, I hope that we'll be doing letters on occult meditation, and right now, during our reappearance of the Christ broadcasts, we are reading through the reappearance of the Christ. And just as we're doing here, we're going to be reading through the Glamour, a World Problem, and when discussing the soul of nations, which is so vitally important now, as so many nations are acting more as if they're personalities than souls, we'll be reading through together the destiny of the nations. We'll figure out whether these will be broadcasts or webinars. Quite a few will be webinars, so you have a chance to think about it and discuss it. I'm just calling everyone to a more intensive assimilation of that which Master DK has given, because basically he said, look, I can only give you the new on the basis of what you have assimilated. And I consider that in the world group, assimilation is not yet adequate. I don't consider it adequate in my own case. So we'll be working intensively, hopefully, for a number of years, stocking our minds and our understanding and accessing the intuition with respect to these books so that we can truly be ready for what he has to offer. And I'm sure it'll be an amazing offering. So that's just a little bit of the background of some of our intentions here from the Temple of Silence in Finland, and we'll do our best to keep everything going. Sometimes I think we're creating some kind of a TV or radio station, and that will occupy a lot of our attention. So anyway, that's the purpose. Now, let's just, I just want to welcome all of you and, you know, run. I can only do this once, really, but Anne and Anne-Marie and Annette and Bianca and Catherine and Clesia and Francois and Gregory and Jean-Pierre, Karen, Leslie, Lourdes, Lynn, Margot, Mariut, Michael, Nienke, Olivia, Rebecca, Risto, Stacia, Susan Miller, Vera, Winnie, welcome to you all. And Joe is here with me on the technical side. We, you know, some of the brave souls in the United States are staying up late, mostly from the Arizona area, which has the same kind of Pacific Daylight Time as the West Coast, from which we have a few. So I welcome you, and here in the morning, there are the early birds. Welcome to the process. Well, let's just have a little alignment together. So we come together in consciousness, and the time-space illusions don't mean anything really in the world of higher consciousness. And we fuse our state of consciousness together, DK will talk about that, into a kind of unity where we can offer ourselves as an instrument for the work of dissipating glamour. We're working right now on this. Well, it's really a major thing, is the glamour of personality, very hard to escape because we have identified for so long with the personality as the personality. But we need to withdraw from that and really understand ourselves as something quite different. That doesn't mean that we don't include it. We do eventually. And everything is one thing, but for purposes in the world of relativity, we have to make these distinctions. So we offer ourselves then to the process, carefully proceeded with the process of helping to lift the veils and the clouds and dissipate the glamours found on the astral plane, and that will lead us also into the world of illusion and how illusions become glamours and become unconscious myavic habits. So we'll sound one om together just to confirm our intention as to what we are proposing to do. Okay, now a little review, and we were here, I think, page 26, 27, and basically we're talking about how to be rid of the various aspects of distortion and what we have to do. So we ended our readings with this particular series of three pieces of advice. None of them is easy. DK would have us distinguish between the three inner illusory aspects, and they would be illusion, glamour, and Maya. Can we really stand back far enough from our personality expression to identify these three? And then finally, you know, there will be the sum total, which presents the final barrier before moving forward at each initiatory possibility, and that is What is this dweller on the threshold? You know, what is it really? And how does our well-equipped and efficient personality actually become the dweller on the threshold? We need to use this fifth ray to understand the distinctions between the actions of these four. And of course, they are all interblended and intermixed, so we have to take them apart and see what they are individually and how they all mix together. Next, we have to discover what conditions in the environment or in the individual constitution induce these situations of difficulty. We all have these distortions. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. And in our own individual nature, there are triggers which throw us into a myopic, a glamorous, or an illusory state. If we think we're not thrown into these things, it's just part of the general illusion and glamour. We are thrown into them by our own choices and our own habit nature. And there are certain triggers in the environment as well, which seem to make it easier to fall into the distortions and become unwittingly deluded. And then the third, to find out what methods are effective in inducing a cessation of the bewildering, deceiving conditions. DK will give us some methods, and perhaps we will, as we begin to notice these conditions, we will find methods of our own to help lift our captivity, or at least end our captivity to these states. Now, you know, he's telling us that these distorting conditions are found in all of us, he says, and they are the medium whereby you are tuned into the world glamour and illusion. If we didn't have anything within ourselves that responded to these conditions on the astral and mental plane and very much in the kama-manasic world, we would be free of them, but we're not. So we have to find what it is within ourselves that tunes us in. You know, when we get emotional and we get reactive, I'm sure we all do at times, and even though we might suppress it, you know, you have to see what's going on. Sometimes you have to hold things in check, yes, but there is a kind of instinctive suppression that the disciple offers instead of understanding, and that's a problem. So let us at least understand, and then if we want to hold things in check for the sake of the general well-being of the environment and our interactions, then we can do that. The emphasis has been laid in esoteric teaching on the training and liberation of the individual aspirant. Okay, this is, of course, necessary. Really, it's necessary before we get too far into this work of doing the group work. And for the mass, well, the mass is made up of individuals, okay? And in the steady release from the control of these inner delusions, just think of that word, inner delusions, will come the eventual clarification of humanity. Probably a major clarification will come when Vulcan is discovered. It has a lot of light in it and a lot of will, and probably we're still some centuries away from a major containment of glamour, but we can strike a blow at it even now, and we need to because it's in such a severe condition now. So we have to realize that these conditions are found in all of us. And here we're, you know, sort of beginning. We've been doing the readings 14 times, but this is our Dissipation of Glamour Initiative 74th program. So each of us in this group, each of you in this group, he says, must of necessity work separately and apart with himself. Now we must always suspect ourselves. And if we have that airy feeling that we are finally totally free from glamour and illusion at our particular stage, we have to suspect that glamour and illusion are at work. So we work separately and apart from ourselves, and with ourselves rather, and learn to induce those conditions of clarity and truth, which will overcome the ancient rhythms and deep-seated habits. They've been going on for millions of years, and thus steadily purify the aura. Now, there is a real injunction for us, and even if we don't have fifth ray in our makeup, increasingly we will be having to use it to discriminate between the various states and bring the kind of clarity of thinking to the whole process, which will lead to initiation. Basically, the fifth ray is so important at the true initiation, which is the third. It's the beginning of the real initiatory process. Everything before that has to do with a preamble, you might say. Not the true initiation, but initiations of the threshold. The fifth ray is extremely important in this work, and it relates, of course, to the Ajna Center and to Venus. Venus is the ruler of the Ajna Center of the disciple, and later Mercury, and we might say that Mercury is a fourth ray planet. In one respect it is, but on the higher levels, the number five is extremely associated with Mercury. So always clarity out of the Ajna Center in this particular work. So after we work with ourselves, it has to be done as a group, he tells us. And this group constitutes one of the first of the exoteric groups with which it is intended to work in the New Age. Now, maybe the first three, the telepathy group and the healing group, groups one and three respectively, are also there, but the glamour group is group number two, and its establishment is necessary, even though the power with which we work may not be sufficient until we've done a lot of etheric house cleaning. The very first task that we have is to drive the myavic conditions and distortions in the veils of the etheric plane back onto the astral plane, and then we'll have to deal with that much more difficult situation. But even now, we begin. Through the activity of such groups, the world glamour will be dissipated, but first of all, the aspirant, and that's all of us, rather, must learn to deal with individual and with group glamour, individual first, and then the glamour of the groups in which we find ourselves, and then, and only then, you know, national and even pan-human glamour. It is necessary to remember the following three things, and I'm going to be brief and technical, he says, in teaching this group. For my time is short and you have an adequate technical knowledge, and hopefully we all do. You know, we, so many of us have been reading the books for a long time and thinking carefully, I hope. An adequate technical knowledge with which to understand whereof I speak. Now, what I want to do, one review a little bit, the kinds of individual glamours with which we may be faced, so that each of us can take those in hand. The first thing he says, and I'll start with this, the united auras of the group members ever determine the group condition. So we are very responsible, each one of us, for what the group condition may be, and we have to deal with our own individual situation. The united auras of the members determine the group condition, the group activity, group usefulness, and problem and glamour. Hence emerges the individual group responsibility and individual usefulness. But we have to tend to ourselves carefully and remember glamour is elusive. We don't think we are the victim of it. That's the problem. And someone has to come along and say, well, have you ever thought about how you are reacting here and what that indicates? Each of you either, and this he's speaking to us really, hinders or aids the group according to to his auric condition, which is either in a state of glamour or illusion, or is kept relatively free from these conditions. Well, never completely at this particular stage. We're never completely free. You know, even after the third degree, there are some major difficulties which have to do with the law of sacrifice and the relinquishment of the accumulation of quality over millions of years. It's a very severe test, and it can be looked at as part of the general illusion. Remember what I've said, that illusion, glamour, and Maya can be used in specific senses related to the mind, emotions, and body, or each one of those words can be considered from a generic perspective, meaning the whole thing, you know, the world illusion, the world glamour, the world Maya. They can be used to cover all three. Excuse me. Secondly, and this pertains to, you know, what we really have to do, and that which is so elusive. The first job, that's quite a word, isn't it? Job, it's a task that each of you has to do, is to determine his own particular or peculiar problem. Now, that takes a lot of sincerity, a lot of humility, a certain adjusted sense of right proportion. We really have to see ourselves, and that is a difficult place to start, but it's necessary. In giving you your individual instructions, you know how he wrote those letters, I will take up with you in this instruction where the particular tendency in this direction of each of you lies. We all have the tendency to glamour or illusion or Maya, and whether this tendency, right, it is glamour, illusion, or Maya to which you habitually succumb. Now, that's the problem. Because these things are habitual, we don't look at them. They're part and parcel of who we think we are. And when somebody says to you, well, will you examine this behavior, and you say to them, well, you know, that's just who I am. That tells us that one of these distortions is hiding behind our validation of our habitual approach. So habits do exist, and they carry with them these distortions. So he does say that he will deal with directness with his group. He says, for I have tested your sincerity and believe in your willingness to be told the truth. Well, Alice Bailey, the peculiar thing there is a funny thing that Alice Bailey was always saying to him, oh, you can't say that, you know, because she had certain Western sensitivities, and he was trying to be as direct and efficient as possible in the Eastern sense, and he had to, I think, maybe sometimes modify the impact of his directness, but his intention to deal with directness. But once you have each determined the specific nature of your peculiar problem, and let's just assume that every one of us has this, every one of us has a peculiar problem which is lessening our effectiveness, then you can work with deliberation towards its solution. And he emphasizes the word deliberation. With deliberation, brother of old, and with no speed, but with due care and caution, and with right understanding. Well, we're in a dangerous area, and the glamour of trying to solve glamours overnight, you know, can overtake us as we become impatient with our limiting condition. The third factor, you must remember that as I look at the individual in any of these groups, I can at the same time gauge the quality of the group itself as a whole. And this is very interesting. Somehow we really do represent the group, and through us, the nature and quality of the group can be assessed. The amount of inner light that can shine through and make its presence felt in your auras can be seen by me and indicate to me the strength and the efficiency and also the potency of your individual group influence. So what we contribute to the group or what we take away from it is visible to the higher sight that the master possesses. He does know us, and as has been said of the Christ, who, as far as our humanity is concerned, is the greatest knower, he knew what was in man, because for him the boundaries did not exist. He was so Neptunian in a certain way, he could go right through those boundaries. For the positive auras subordinate the negative auras. What is required is a combination of positive auras. So let's think about that, you know, the degree of our positivity, a combination of positive auras deliberately subordinated to group work. And therein lies much difficulty, and therein lies the problem, you know, why it was that although there were many individual successes in DK's training of his group members, there was not the kind of group success that he had hoped for. But then the project is basically a 275-year project, and, you know, by the time we reach the year 2200, things will have taken shape. So as you deal with illusion, and as you free your minds from its effects, you know, because presumably people of our nature are more mentally focused and have issues with illusion, which become illusions, which become glamours. So, you know, we cannot discount illusion. As we deal with illusion, and as you free your minds from its effects, and as you dissipate, as clouds dissipate, the astral glamour in which you are all more or less immersed, you will enter into a greater freedom of living and usefulness. As the Maya of distorted energy currents ceases to swing you into lines of undesirable activity, you know, it's, what did he call it, that unthinking emotional mess, he called Maya that, and we're just swung into activity which doesn't make any sense, just out of our habit nature. We just keep doing things, you know, the way we've already done them, without thinking before we do. There comes a stage in our training where instead of just giving into the habitual way of doing things, we stop, we think, we reflect. It slows things down, okay? But at the same time, it is a blow against the Maya, and we do something about what's called on the etheric plane the veil of impulsion. We are impelled, you know, oftentimes to act in stupid, unthinking ways just because of habits. And gradually, we overcome those areas of the Maya which are related to the different planes, the veil of distortion, the veil of separation, and finally the veil of aspiration. We overcome these things. Okay, so the light in us can shine forth with greater clarity. Incidentally, the dweller on the threshold as a whole, right, will slowly and surely disintegrate and leave your way to the door of initiation, free and unimpeded. Now, he's speaking in symbolic terms, of course, but we know enough to be able to interpret what these mean. In purely scientific and energy terms, it means something quite different than the symbolism offers us, but the symbolism can be effective. So now I'm going to pause here for just a little while before getting into the more detailed consideration of illusion. And by the way, you know, as I'm doing this, please sort of keep notes of what you want to discuss, what is meaningful to you, where your questions arise, and so forth, because then we'll get into our chance to go back and forth a little bit based upon your thoughts. So what I want to do, just to remind us, we'll come back to this, but I just want to read through these things. Now, many of you have studied your ray structure, and, you know, finally we're coming closer and closer to correcting the sort of technical areas of the PIP. We don't even know how they arose, but that's been a whole story. And soon the PIP number 3, the new PIP, will be available to everybody. We have experts working on it. I'm not one, but I just want to say that you'll be able to, if you haven't taken the PIP recently, see how things are going. And I think our PIP number three is so far the best. And then later, for the brave, I've got an 888 question test called the TARA, Transpersonal Astro-Rheological Analysis. And it's a process, and it can go on for weeks, and maybe you can come closer to finding your higher rays, the kind of rays that we have been discussing in the conference, in our Advancing Seven-Ray Seminar, even going up to the rays of the triad and the monad. So that particular kind of test has us thinking in those directions. Anyway, these instruments, we want to make them as available as possible and as soon as possible, and we are working on them. But just now, as a reminder of the kinds of glamours which, according to your ray type, you may be subjected to, I'm just going to read these things. I'm not really going to ponder and pause, okay? Because I just think that we'll get into that, when we get to page 120 or so. But this is just, DK has told us, look, you've got to take care of your own house first. You can't be of much use in dissipating world glamour together as a group, because the group is only as strong and effective as the individual auras brought into it, and we're all making our contribution, or we're all taking away from the effectiveness of these groups according to our own mastery of our own particular glamour. So, people with a lot of ray one in their nature, I won't say the glamour of, you get the idea, physical strength, personal magnetism, self-centeredness and personal potency, the one at the center's selfish personal ambition, rulership, dictatorship, wide control, the messiah complex in the field of politics, selfish destiny and the divine right of kings, personally exacted, destruction, isolation, aloneness, aloofness, superimposed will upon others and other groups. So, when you feel there's a lot of the first ray in your system, I won't even say where. It can be mind, it can be personality, it can be soul, and in some cases, for the more advanced people, it can be, even the higher rays. Now, this is just to keep this in our mind, because it's been a while since we've studied the individual glamours, and you really have to be almost very quiet about glamour in your life and just see where things are not going right, where they could go better, where we seem to be kind of messed up and ineffective. And why is that? Now, we're always going to make our own contribution to those difficult situations. It's not the other guy's fault. And when you think it is the other guy's fault, you've got to watch out very closely for what we might call projection, where you're basically throwing your own unrealized conditions onto the others, thinking that they possess them, when in fact you are the one that possesses these distortions. Well, here, a lot of us may be on the second ray, one way or another. So these glamours, the love of being loved, popularity, personal wisdom, selfish responsibility, too complete an understanding which negates right action, it's a big one. Self-pity, a basic glamour of this ray. The messiah complex in the world of religion and world need. Fear based on undue sensitivity. Self-sacrifice, that's interesting. Selfish unselfishness. It sounds like the Tibetan really knows what this is all about. Self-satisfaction and selfish service. Just because you're on the second ray doesn't mean you're not selfish. Selfishness is a state through which we all pass necessarily. Third-ray types of glamours, just, check yourself out here. Being busy, cooperating with the plan in your own way and not in a group way, active scheming, creative work without true motive, good intentions, which are basically selfish, the spider at the center, God in the machine, Deus ex machina, devious and continuous manipulation, self-importance from the standpoint of knowing and efficiency. The know-it-all, you know. Okay, so those are the three rays of aspect and the kinds of things and mixtures of things to which we may be subject. I'm going over this because DK says, look, this is the foundation. You've got to take care of your own situation before you can be really of much use in the world. So we've got to work in two ways simultaneously, upon ourselves, and we can carry on that daily review of where we have gone wrong and what we've done and thought that may have led to situations which were less desirable than otherwise they might have been if we were clearer in our consciousness and clearer in our motivation. So we have to do those reviews and then keep expanding the group with which we are involved and noticing the kinds of things to which these ever larger groups are subjected until finally the one great group, humanity and its glamours at this time particularly stand out. If one was thinking, the glamour of personality is such a big one for humanity as a whole, as more and more people are finally becoming personalities and want to demonstrate these things and express the personal self, and it's a very necessary stage, but it's one that the true aspirant is moving beyond, because not because that aspirant has not been engaged in such a demonstration, but because they are past it. And you may discover in the earlier part of your life, you recapitulate, you go through those various stages, and maybe by the time you reach the age of 35 or 49, you're ready to really get into the true subject matter of this particular incarnation and re-spiritualize all that you do. Okay, Ray 4, harmony, aiming at personal comfort and satisfaction. War, conflict with the objective of imposing righteousness and peace. I keep on thinking about Alexander the Great in that particular concept, context, Ray 1 and Ray 4. The vague artistic perception, psychic perception instead of intuition. The astral body can cover up the intuition. Musical perception. Oh, goodness. I'll have to think about that one. Pairs of opposites in the higher sense, and the battle and the war that goes on there. There are many more things that could be said, of course, and throughout the books he does. But just kind of take note and just kind of see where it is and to what it is you succumb, because we're all going to do a little succumbing here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be where we are. If we pass the fourth degree, we're going to be in much better shape than at present. Then Ray 5, materiality. Or overemphasis on form, intellect, knowledge and of definition, assurance based on a narrow point of view, the form which hides reality, the garment of God, interested in that garment and not the God behind. Organization, you would think it would relate to the seventh ray, but also here to the fifth, and the glamour of the outer, which hides the inner. So many people in the esoteric field have had the experience of being related to someone close who is the victim of this kind of skepticism and just doesn't see what they're trying to do. Then Ray 6, in the work of DK's Dissipation of Glamour group, you just had to have the sixth ray. I think everybody was well equipped with the sixth ray because it was the sixth plane that they were working on, and it fit them to work in that particular field. Even this one man who was to give a lot of stability to the group, having a first ray soul, a fifth ray personality, a fifth ray mind, he had a powerful sixth ray astral body. So, you know, to work in the glamour area, the sixth ray is, well, it's almost a necessity, really. Okay, devotion, adherence to forms and persons, idealism, loyalties and creeds, emotional response, sentimentality, that's that Camo-Manasic mixture, you know, interference, the lower pairs of opposites, world saviors and teachers, narrow vision, fanaticism. Okay, DK will talk about some of these things, and I'm sure we've all been there. During the age of Pisces, it's been a sixth ray age. It's been going on for more than 2,000 years, and I'm sure that we've been focused on some of these things without really understanding what's going on. Now, in the seventh ray age, regardless of your ray, some of these other factors will come in. The magical work, you know, it's very egotistical sometimes. The relation of the opposites and being the relating factor. The subterranean powers, just take a look at what Aleister Crowley did, you'll see it there. The glamour of that which brings together. Glamour of the physical body, of the mysterious and the secret. Sex magic, it's everywhere now, and it will get only worse, I think. And the emerging manifested forces. So just think about these things in relation to your own particular setup, because if we just plunge in and say, oh yeah, we're helping the world, we may be, you know, unknown to ourselves, bringing a glamorous condition of our consciousness into the battle and not being as useful as we otherwise might be. It's no fun to remove your projections and to realize that everything you thought about the other person was really within yourself. That's a tough one. But it induces humility, that adjusted sense of right proportion, and then we become, let's just say, almost teachable. After 50 or more years in this field, lots of years, I feel right now I'm almost teachable. So, you know, things don't always go as fast as we may hope. All right, so we came this far now. He's going to talk about illusion next, and it's a big subject. And I feel that it would be better, since we've covered a lot of material here, to open the door to that. He's going to deal with greater focus on mental response, emotional response, and the swirling currents of Maya that will come. And, you know, we're not going to finish this book rapidly. This is a project, a process of 2, 3, 4 years. So let's just, you know, we'll be patient as we go and learn more and more and become more effective and become more useful. So actually what I'm going to do, let's just see how far I get. No, that wasn't it. All right, so I'm going to, yeah, it'll just take me a second here. Yep, okay. So this is going to be something. There we go. All right, so we'll say that this is the end. I shouldn't be having that. Okay, end. I want to get rid of that underlining, but I don't know if I can do it. End of dissipation of, well, we'll call it reading. The glamour readings, and I think it's number, I forget, 14 or 15. I don't know. Let's go back here. Is it 14, Joe?
74.
No. That's the, but the readings themselves. You see that? You see that? I think it's number, number 14. That's what it is. Okay. So number 14, and we're not quite ending with the whole deal yet. End of Glamour readings, and this is the 15th of June. We're meeting in another week, and I think we're on page 29 here. Okay, and next time we'll start on the 22nd, I guess, and this will be the beginning of Glamour readings, number 15. And it'll be 22nd of June, very close to the solstice, so we'll have to look at that. It'll be page 29. All right, well, presumably you've thought about these things and some of the glamours that may hold you in a state of distortion. So let's... Matter of fact, let's just think for just a moment before we open the floor. Which of the glamours that have been read, and their name is Legion, says the Tibetan. There's so many of them. Matter of fact, what he did, you know, instead of only dealing with these glamours, he tried to be very specific about the particular glamour that was holding any one of his students, and he oftentimes gave peculiar names to these glamours, and they're not listed in the general list. If you're a second-rate type, you're just immersed in all kinds of glamours simultaneously, and the sixth-rate type only intensifies that, but then it qualifies people to be rid of these particular glamours. So just pause for a moment before we get into the discussion and think about your usefulness to the group, the degree of clarity of your consciousness. And remember, in those areas, this is the funny thing, where you feel most self-assured, where you feel most confident about your contribution and, well, most proud, maybe sometimes. It may be the very area that is covering your distortions and weaknesses. Our strengths cover our weaknesses and oftentimes are indications, the thing that you think you're really good at may be hiding some kind of distortion, and that's why it's really hard to get into and solve. So just pause for a moment as you're thinking about what you contribute to the group, about determining your own particular problem. About the degree to which you're subordinating your individual approach to the group approach. Just think about that for just a moment before we get into further discussion. Well, it's oftentimes, you know, quite a shock when we realize that the factor we thought was our greatest strength is actually concealing some kind of distortion. You'd never think it was so, but in fact, it is. So, next time when we get together, we're going to go more deeply, you know, into illusion, glamour, and Maya. And we'll just follow along the Tibetan's teaching as he instructed his group. This book came out as lesson sets for this particular group, and now we can all benefit from it. So let's, if anybody has any question, any thought, any, you know, thing you'd like to deal with. This would be the moment to do it. Right. So, Michael, there we go. Okay, Michael.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning, Michael. Good late late evening to you. You're one of the diehards. Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You've read through the Ray Glamours, which are just a short list. It's not all-inclusive.
No.
And even though we may hypothesize that we have our soul, our personality, our mind, our emotions, our physical, etheric nature on certain of the rays,
yes,
that doesn't mean that we are not susceptible to glamours on the rays that we're not hypothesizing. We are bringing with us previous incarnations on other rays.
Yes. Yes.
And so you know, we can't sit there and discount those that we're not currently experiencing directly.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. And remember, the soul ray abides. I mean, we've been on all the different rays in rotation, and probably there are some kinds of rules about the rotation, but the soul ray abides, and the personality can seize the quality of the soul ray and make glamours of them, and it becomes well-established habits of many lifetimes. So those things are definitely present. But there are just maybe certain things to work upon quite focally, which have to do with the present ray configuration. And I want to say this, Michael, that let's not forget the glamours associated with the astrological signs and with the planets and with the races and root races and sub-races with which we may be involved. Distortions are possible from all kinds of sources. So we have to have a keen eye. Yep.
And then he gives glamours specific to disciples.
Yes, yes, he does. He does. And can you think of any of them? I'm trying to.
One that comes close to mind is criticism.
Yes.
Which opens the door to so many other glamours.
Yes, there's three things he gives along. Criticism is a major one because of the mentally focused type, and then there is self-pity. He talks about that one, and there's one, suspicion. Suspicion. Now, you know, you might almost be able to rank them in relation to the rays. Criticism, ray 3, self-pity, ray 2, suspicion, paranoia, etc., ray 1. And, you know, so he mentioned those specifically as opening the door to the glamorous realm for disciples.
Yeah. And then there's, in the last paragraph that you read, the freedom of livingness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, there it is. Greater
the freedom.
Yeah, here it
freedom
is.
Freedom of livingness and usefulness.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. And when we're involved. Go ahead.
I would add part of that living and usefulness. Mm-hmm. Is responsibility.
So, okay, as responsibility, yes. Okay, well, and this is something that he tells us, it's under Saturn, really, and he says, if we really understand what responsibility is, we will make great, great strides. Not over-responsibility, not selfish responsibility, where the eye is on the ego, but really your ability to respond to need. That's the thing. Can we respond to need? So I'm going to put it here, we respond correctly to need? That is a big question. Right. Okay. Well, look, it's a big job to find these things within ourselves and then see how they are developed in larger groups and humanity as a whole. Different groups will have their particular prevailing glamours. I've worked in a lot of groups, okay? And I really know this to be so. And you know that DK did not intend that these particular groups would have those glamours, but they just developed them, maybe under the influence of a national thought form. I think, you know, it's very, here's the way. The Lucis group had a very strong second-rate quality, and then Alice Bailey died, and two first-rate people eventually took over the process. And we all have distortions. So the kinds of distortion shifted from those on the second ray to those on the first ray due to the imposition of the prevailing quality of the leaders. And the countries, you know, Americans have are loaded with certain kinds of glamours, and they're different from the British, and maybe they're different from the French, and, you know, and from the Middle European and so forth. So the atmosphere in which you live, based upon the larger groups, will induce towards certain glamours, I believe. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for your thoughts. Okay, let's see. I'm not knowing. I see question marks here, but I don't know whether they... okay, be brave. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about this? What thoughts occurred to you? Maybe as we're reading through, at least one thought should occur to every person, and that's the purpose of it. You know, the person who's reading or, you know, expounding on these things, whatever, that's one thing, but your own response and what you think is the more important thing. Anything that you would like to say about these conditions of glamour, illusion, and Maya, as he has described them. I think I told you last time, you know, that two rays, the ray of the personality and the ray of the soul, each work through one of the three vehicles. Now, you know, maybe the personality working through a particular vehicle is the source of glamour. Maybe the vehicle, which is not under the duress or impression of either the personality or the soul, also may have its problems. Or, I think in the case of Foster Bailey, his soul worked through his seventh ray etheric physical. His mind worked through, or rather his personality worked through his fourth ray mind, leaving his second ray astral body without the pressure of either one of those two centers. But in his case, things had been so worked out that leaving that extra vehicle free of that pressure was not a problem, because its quality had been so developed that it could simply be used and it was not going to be a source of glamour. Maybe for others, the unattended, unpressured vehicle becomes a source of difficulty, Maya, depending on what it is, Maya, glamour, or illusion. Okay, any thoughts? Any thoughts for you? Be brave, you know, it's just a question of what occurs to you as we work along. I'm looking. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's see. Is the moon still in? Where is the moon right now? Just have to look at this quickly. If it's already gone into Cancer, I can understand why we clam up. Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's certainly in the sign Cancer, isn't it? You see down here, get your solar fire program, and tells you where everything is, you know. So let's see if I have anything more to say here, waiting for you to perhaps offer a question or your thought. This is a serious business that we are engaged in. As DK says, it's a world problem, and maybe, I don't know, in my view, maybe 85%, 80 to 85% of humanity is emotionally polarized and subject to being swayed emotionally without proper thought. Now, people like ourselves, you know, we're into the ageless wisdom. We're thinking all the time about these things. And we have to help raise the esoteric educational level of the people that surround us, and it will trickle down to many. The age of Aquarius is, interestingly, not only a seventh ray age, but the fifth ray comes very powerfully through Aquarius. The fifth ray is a great mental ray, and Aquarius will be the major source of the fifth ray before long. Right now, Leo is, but it's already making the transition. So this kind of initiation under the fifth ray, mental illumination under the fifth ray, all of this is coming to us in a very mental age. But we cannot become just mental magicians. We have to have the heart and soul involved and really call upon Venus. So we have a great demand placed upon us, and that demand is particularly acute during what I think will be a very conflicted period of time immediately ahead of us, involving finances, involving nationalism, involving the threats of war, involving non-equality and equality, or extreme wealth and extreme poverty, even showing up in places where you wouldn't expect it to happen. A lot of the problems that have been swept under the rug are emerging very boldly with the power of Pluto dragging everything to the surface as it must before the Christ can reappear. So we are training ourselves to see clearly, not to criticize what we see, but at least to see clearly and to help people find the way to alleviate these distortions which prevent them from living a life of truth. Okay, so I'm just, you know, just saying a couple of things. And if there are no further questions or thoughts, we will go on to the meditation. Okay, well, anyway, next time we'll be working here on illusion, the severe cases of it, so we get to contrast it with glamour, and we'll see how much illusion affects us. I always think that illusion is based on fragmentation. It's based on not being able to join the various perceptions which come to our mind into a unity. So the intuition, which is unifying, is going to dispel illusion. We're going to be involved in that. We're going to try to see how much we are subject to illusion or just wrong thought. And here it's very interesting what he says about it. And then the glamours, which we are emerging from, hopefully, but many people in humanity are just going into it now. So we have a problem. And then finally, he's going to deal with a little bit about the Maya. Okay. And Maya is a Lemurian factor in a way, but it's very much what is driving the confusion of humanity, as he calls it, the unthinking emotional mess in which we so often live just due to our habit nature. Okay. Remember this one? That's the interaction of the three centers. And there's going to be a beautiful divine circulatory flow coming on ahead here in the future. But right now, we have to work where we are. And even hierarchy is striving toward Shambhala. And there is kind of a partial returning arrow here for humanity in relation not only to hierarchy, but Shambhala. Right. Okay. Here's our meditation. And remember what we're working on right now, a very big glamour, which is affecting millions and will create a period of danger, the Tibetan says, because as more and more people become truly personalities, and thus to a degree separative, then we're going to be dealing with this glamour of personality in a very large sense. We see this in many group leaders who have no real group sense, and they believe that somehow through their own personality they can dictate the best welfare for others, and of course they cannot. So we'll enter the silence a little bit. Enter the silence. And come together in the silence. And because this is among the corrective measures, maybe the most dangerous of the methods, we'll use the protective formula as he advises the cross of divinity. And we'll, as we make the sign of the cross from brow to chest and each eye, we will say the protective formula. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand between the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And that cross shines for each of us. We imagine that it is the protection of selflessness which the cross represents. And the group as a whole has its composite cross. When you venture into a dangerous area where so many are susceptible, it's only wise to be protected. And thus is the case with every magical process, as we know. The magician sees to it that the method of protection is present. Now we'll take the triple light. So there is the light of matter, etheric, physical, especially. We raise it to the mental plane. And the light that is found upon the plane of mind, the ability to reason, think, the many operations of the concrete mind. We fuse those lights together. the vitalized power to think. And then the third light. We think of contact with the soul. Above the head, let us say, the recognition of soul light. And we bring that soul light down imaginatively where the other two lights are fusing and blending and join three together. The light of matter, the light of mind, the light of soul. And three then are one. And we will say a mantra together, followed by the sacred word three times. Thinking of our triple light, which is now one. The light is one. And in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Now we will work with the formula. And as we do this, we're visualizing the great searchlight arising out of the triple blended light. And that searchlight will be turned upon the astral plane as we envision it. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. The light of day, its scorpionic light, rules the Buddhic plane, intuition descending into the astral psychic realm. And now we will strengthen our beam, which is our instrument of detection and of destruction. We'll strengthen our beam with the spiritual will, descending from the monad through the atmic levels, through the jewel and the lotus, through the various sacrifice petals. We will strengthen our beam with this mantra. With power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. Now, we're going to use the words of power to help overcome the glamour of personality. I would say, which we are all somewhat subject to until the fourth initiation is completed. And as we use these words of power, we will visualize our beam carrying power, penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and dissipation. It's all part of decentralization. So we say together, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of personality. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of personality from affecting humanity. What is that quality which is to be negated? The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour of personality. Now we will enter together the silence, approaching in your own way and using the words of power to help, together with the group, the dissipation of the glamour of personality. So 5 minutes of silence. And assuming now that we have contributed even a little to the non-appearance, to the negation, to the destruction of the glamour of personality, we will sound the om 3 times and we will confirm our estimation of the work that we have done. Obviously, it has to continue over many years. Friends, I want to thank you. Olivia Tui and I want to thank you for joining us. Now, remember what I said. I'm working now on the second initiation. I've done 2 programs on compilations on the second initiation. It's an initiation which faced so many in DK's group. If not in that life, then in the immediately succeeding lives. So I think you'll find it most interesting. The third initiation work is up there. We will then go to the first initiation and then later to some of the higher initiations. Tomorrow we will have the interventionary work, finding planetary emergencies, turning our thought upon them. So much is emerging at this time, which needs the correction of clear thought, and the idea of each one of us being responsible for evoking, at least invoking and hopefully evoking, the soul quality of our particular nation. And right now, humanity is in such a state that there's a big battle going on, even in so many of the prominent nations who should maybe know better, between their soul quality and their personality quality. So we throw the weight of our understanding upon soul quality, and then on Sunday, the attracting of money for hierarchical purposes. And as I said earlier, Tui and I have the intention of helping people read through the various books of Master DK with purpose of assimilating all that can be assimilated in the next 7 years, so that what Master DK plans to give to us in the third installment can be in the fullest measure possible, because we have done our work. I think also Joe has been helping put the second initiation compilations up on Makara, and they will be, we have, you know, a YouTube channel, Moria Federation Education, Esoteric Education, and it's got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of programs, and these will be put up there as well. So you've got a lot to study, a lot to assimilate, and a lot to apply in the intensest measure over the next 7 years. After that, we'll see what happens. But together, we go through this and do our best to create an inner group of attentive disciples who can really help the hierarchy emerge. So thank you very much from all of us, and we'll continue our work later. I'm going to be doing, hopefully, even today, some more of the second initiation compilations, and I think maybe we can get at least one up per day or something like that. Okay, all the very best. Lots of love from all of us, and we'll talk to you soon. See you later. Bye-bye.